A moment before the break of dawn, life in the Niger begins with the rhythm of the calm, small, brilliant waves of the lakes of Mali. Calm and silent, yet glistening with life. This magical place lies right in the middle of the vast, burning desert of Africa. As the sun peaks over the horizon, life's current gains momentum. The inhabitants, mostly farmers, begin their day early, making their living by selling goods, and one can see more people starting off their working day as well. Residents of the beach are rather laid back. Men congregate to play games together and listen to the radio. Life is simple here, much like the type of goods the people sell. As simple, perhaps, as preparing a cup of tea. Not far away, mothers are working too. As they work, they sing their songs of legend that tell traditional tales of their history. Folklore of kings and lesser rulers with their faces hidden behind wooden masks. They had won battles against beasts and great wizards, and they had discovered great treasures, all in the name of an expansive, mystical land called Mali. Not all of Mali's tales, however, are of legend. This country has survived the intrusion of a number of colonial empires, which occupied Western Africa. It is also a land that has experienced thriving times in the past. But here in the 21st century, Mali is devastated. Once a land of significant architectural development that denoted an accomplished civilization, these mementos are fading and might one day be all but forgotten. Villagers, seemingly unchanged by historical events of the past, live next to the remnants of centuries-old kings' palaces.
In Mali, Senegal, and other countries, including Ghana and Niger, governments were feudal and consecutive royal dynasties ruled over this region. This place that you see here is the government's court. It is a royal's property that belongs to Bambara dynasty.
C'est un travail tout à fait très important. Et effectivement, il y a la matière. C'est l'un des rares pays où on peut présenter, dans lequel on peut présenter l'histoire depuis le 3e siècle jusqu'au 21e siècle actuel. Nous avons les matériaux.
The Dagon tribe is one of the most mystifying tribes in Mali. Some believe they are in regular contact with extraterrestrial beings. They are deeply knowledgeable about the stars and heavens.
Les Dogons sont un peuple installé aujourd'hui dans la zone que l'on appelle les falaises de Banyagara. Ce sont des collines. Ils sont installés en hauteur, à peu près 400 300 mètres, c'est dans les falaises. Mais les Dogons ne sont pas les premiers habitants.
Dogons were not the first inhabitants of the cliffs of Banjagara.
On sait maintenant qu'au 3e siècle avant Jésus-Christ, il y avait les Toloi. On ne parle pas beaucoup d'eux.
Deserted but resilient homes of the Dogons stand deep in the heart of the Bandiagara land. Among several such villages, one or two allow visitor access, while the rest are categorized as a forbidden zone for any non-native.
Ils savent, ils voient les compagnons de Sirius.
L'étoile Sirius. Stars.
Parce que ils organisent leur fête le Sigi tous les 60 ans.
Did you know that these small houses belong to pygmies who built them more than 2,000 years ago?
Do you mean the tribes of short people?
Yes, the pygmies were forced to emigrate from here and move to Central Africa, to a country which is now involved in a horrible civil war. About 1,000 years ago, the Dogons migrated to this area. They were also natives of Bandiagara, but there were theological differences with the Muslim community there, and the Dogons didn't want to abandon their traditional customs, so they decided to emigrate and resettle within this territory to form their own society. This new land proved a very good place for them to live and grow. The environment meant that they were protected from wild animals and hostile tribes could not effectively attack them either. These are the reasons, it is said, that the Dogons took over this territory and ousted the pygmy population, who were the original builders of these houses.
Un de nos étudiants a fait une découverte merveilleuse. Ce compagnon de Sirius, il le cherche à travers une colline, à travers, n'est-ce pas, au sommet, à travers une colline effilée. Au bout de la caverne, il y a un trou, n'est-ce pas? Et c'est à travers le trou de la colline qu'il regarde. Donc la colline joue le rôle de lunette. L'image est concentrée. C'est tout à fait ordinaire. Les Dogons, le fer, ils le connaissaient avant d'arriver là. Parce que le fer date de 2000, 3000 avant Jésus-Christ.
The meaning of the black means the mud, the soil, la terre. And then the white means the water, and the skies. And then the red means the sacrifice, blood, animals, and that is the sun over there. They said they should be there to be away to see enemies coming from a distance, because sitting there you can see back of the plain lands. And then if there is enemy coming, you can see, and they can't come from your up. They will fall
but
down.
But how could they get, you know, their food and the water from?
They get their food and water. They come to hunt and then they go up their back. Enemies will not be fighting you all the time of the day.
But it could be difficult for them, you know, just to coming down.
That is why today you see them living downstairs.
Yes.
The people of this village are origin of this place. But the present people of today are... Nothing belongs to them, but it's from great grandfather
generation
to
after generation,
generation after generation, and they are all here to protect it.
It was a time of long, dark nights, but brilliant days full of optimism and accomplishment. Legendary civilizations that were no less than those of the great ancient civilizations. Tribes that built impenetrable resistance could not be dominated by their enemies, and they prevailed. Faces of heroes were carved proudly on totems as mementos, and as symbols of strength and fortitude. One might imagine these civilizations as primitive, but in many ways, they were not.
On fait commencer l'histoire du Mali avec l'empire soninké du Ouagadou que l'on appelle le Ghana. Cet empire, on sait, il a été fondé par les Soninké. Oui, et il avait une capitale qui a été découverte par les archéologues. La capitale est Kumbisalé, située aujourd'hui en territoire mauritanien. Cet empire a su organiser le commerce de l'or et il en a tiré de grands profits. Bon, l'or venait du sud, il arrivait dans les villes comme Kumbisalé et il repartait vers le nord dans le cadre du commerce transsaharien. Bon, en retour, le sel arrivait. Or, le sel est une denrée indispensable en climat tropical. Si vous ne mangez pas de sel, vous mourrez. Alors donc, le sel était échangé contre de l'or. Ben, quand vous aviez 15 grammes de sel, c'était vendu 15 grammes d'or. Donc après l'empire du Mali, il y a eu l'empire Songhai. La ville commerciale, la ville intellectuelle était Tombouctou. Cet empire, mieux que l'empire du Ouagadougou, mieux que l'empire du Mali, a organisé d'une façon parfaite le commerce transsaharien.
كانت هناك علاقات وطيدة بين تومبوكتو وبين الشمال الإفريقي والقرب الإفريقي وخصوصا بين مصر والمغرب وليبيا والجزائر وتونس كان هناك تبادل ثقافي وكان هناك تواصل اجتماعي وكانت هناك رحلات تجارية متبادلة بين تومبوكتو وبين هذه الدول
Les quartiers, là, il y avait un marché. Je vous disais qu'il y avait 40 portefeuilles.
Oui.
Il y avait de l'administration, la sécurité, la santé, l'environnement.
That was all part
tout.
Of life.
C'est comme le gouvernement.
Sectors, yeah, like a government.
هذا من أول مسجد في غرب أفريقيا. بناه الشيخ محمد الشريف هو من سادة. من السلالة من سلالة الرسول الأعظم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم
Timbuktu is a gem in the heart of the African desert, a legendary city first established as a major commercial center in West Africa 900 years ago. Today, it is remote and desolate. Islam became prominent in Mali in the 1300s under the leadership of Mansa Musa, who built five mud brick mosques, creating the beginning of an empire. The religion took its inhabitants out of paganism to the worship of one almighty God. Prior to Islam, the mystical traditions of Sufism were imbued in Malian society, and while Islam penetrated the indigenous consciousness of the people, local customs and beliefs persisted also. The period produced economic prosperity and attracted many Muslim scholars and traders.
فيما يخص دخول الإسلام في هذه البلاد بالنسبة لطرق الصوفية فإني أقول ولا أجد مجادلا في ذلك أن الإسلام دخل هذه البلاد راكبا على الجواد الصوفي يعني على فرس صوفي. ولم يزل هؤلاء الصوفيون بعد دخولهم بالإسلام بعد إسلام معظم السكان يعلمون الناس الدين الإسلامية أحيانا حتى باللغة المحلية.
Today, Muslims make up 90% of Mali's population. Until recently, its society lived in relative peace with one another, tolerant of minority religions, and integrated into societal norms. Sufism in Mali has been the origin of many defining moments that includes successful resistance against colonialism. These are numerous sects in Mali Sufism. One of the most important and most followed is Tijuana. But all of these sects are devoted followers of the Ahlul Bayt, people of the house of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which includes the Imams of Islam. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
Go to work there to see the people, to talk with the people, to don't make it guerre.
To solve the problem
to
peacefully.
To solve problem for the peace, not for the guerre. Yeah, to talk with them, and then Mali will be nice country with them, to talk to them, not for the fighting. The Muslims pray every time. They are good at it.
What about the French soldiers? There are plenty of them here.
French soldiers. Many is here.
The presence of the French in Africa, especially in Mali, is a story of centuries of attempts at imperial conquest and colonization. In early 2012, northern and southern Mali erupted in civil war, which plunged the country into political turmoil. A coup d'etat by the military officers ousted the legitimate government, which was claimed to be a U.S. puppet government, but before stability could be re-established, Al-Qaeda militants were found to have been introduced into the country by some Western and Arab powers in order to completely destabilize the country. After a few months, Al-Qaeda began to gain the upper hand and control some strategic areas, in effect hijacking the civil war. The new Malian government asked for the United Nations help, but help did not come. Instead, something else happened. Using the pretext that Mali could not defend itself, French forces without a UN mandate intervened in the country to secure natural resources, and in so doing, violated the UN resolution. 1905?
Yes, from 1905 to 1932, here has been the seat of a French ruler. Now, what had happened during these 27 years in these houses?
And what decisions were made?
God knows.
Alors donc la colonisation française, okay, elle s'installe. Bon, et 1895. Oui, le Soudan fait partie de ce que l'on appelle l'ensemble Afrique occidentale française, AOF. Il y a une chose d'abord, c'est la loi de l'indigénat. Ça c'est très très clair, c'est l'indigénat. C'est-à-dire que le colonisé est considéré comme un être inférieur. Ça okay. C'est tout de suite.
Okay.
C'est un système instauré d'abord en Algérie. C'est
un système that was installed in Algeria at first.
On peut l'envoyer faire tous les travaux.
You can send the person to do any kind of work.
In the majority of their captured colonies in Western Africa, the French have spread radicalism, which adopts the belief that one race is superior over another race of people, and it is this radicalism that ensures colonies fulfill their responsibilities towards their lords.
Et pendant la Première Guerre mondiale, il y a eu une pression extraordinaire sur le... Et cette période correspond à une période de sécheresse. Il fallait que les populations donnent des céréales pour les troupes coloniales françaises. Il fallait que les Français recrutent des gens pour aller à la guerre.
French soldiers are committed to fight for France's imperial interests, and the people of Mali must share their earnings and wealth with their colonial lord. The statue of Louis Archinard, a revered general of France's conquest of Mali in the 1800s, looks in the direction of Niger Beach, in a corner of the historic city of Sego, as a daily reminder that Malians are under French control.
Le Belédougou s'est révolté.
Belédougou revolted.
Ils se sont mis avec Koumi Diossé pour combattre. Les troupes pour combattre les Français. C'est la même chose au pays Bobo, chez les Bobos.
It's the same thing to the Bobo
dans les mêmes conditions.
It's the same condition.
Pour fournir des céréales et donner des hommes, les gens ont refusé.
Supply cereals and supply men for the war.
Dans le nord, c'est Firoun. Ce sont les Touaregs de Firoun.
Yes, in the northern part of the country, the Touaregs are the people of Firoun, Farun.
Mali gained its independence in 1960. However, slavery has persisted to this day. The French are well known throughout their own history as world-class enforcers of slavery, oppression, and even genocide. And so, for the people of Mali, there is likely to be no freedom from slavery when this French intervention changes form.
Ces mouvements prennent de l'ampleur et donc on est obligé, ils sont obligés de donner de plus en plus de liberté. Bon, on a oublié tout ce que les colonies ont donné, le Soudan a donné pendant les deux guerres. Première guerre mondiale, des soldats sont partis. Deuxième guerre mondiale, des centaines de morts.
When the war ends in Mali and everything reverts back to normal, lords remain lords and slaves must continue their slavery.
La France ayant vu qu'il ne fallait pas envoyer tous les pays de l'AOF ensemble à l'indépendance. Si on les envoyait tous à l'indépendance et dans un bloc, ce serait dangereux.
Berlin.
The war will become history soon enough, and the period of French colonialism will also one day end to make way for so-called democratic government. But the benefits reaped by the conquerors from natural resources will continue covertly, leaving only the crumbs for the native population. Mali possesses a wealth of vital natural resources such as petroleum, gas, and uranium, used for atomic weaponry and the functioning of nuclear reactors. It provides abundant wealth to large French corporations, such as, for example, Arva. Arva, founded in 1958 in Paris, had always been at the top of French nuclear negotiations. The company is involved wherever African uranium is mined, and Mali is no exception. Tragically, while French politicians and business moguls enjoy their spoils and media spin, and a new government favorable to French interests is formed for Mali to complete its recolonization, the people of Mali will pay the ultimate price, that of widespread poverty forced upon them in order to guarantee control over their resources.
Le 19 novembre
68, 19 novembre,
on a eu une junte militaire au pouvoir.
There was a military junta
avec Moussa Traoré,
Moussa Traoré,
qui est venu pour instaurer un régime libéral.
Okay, soit he came to install a liberal regime.
Mais il n'a pu absolument rien faire. Sauf détruire.
It's difficult to imagine the horror these people must have witnessed in the throes of civil war, neighbor warring against neighbor, brother against brother. It all must have made little sense to those in the firing line. The people's expectations would have been vastly different from the terrible reality that ensued. Who will bind the nation's wounds once this is all over?
C'est pendant tout ce temps-là. De la chute de Moussa à aujourd'hui, de la chute de Moussa à la chute de Amadou Toumani, il y a eu une baisse drastique du revenu des Maliens. Il y a le chômage, le grandissant.
No job facilities.
Donc, il y a un foyer, un terreau dans lequel on peut recruter facilement des jeunes gens fanatisés. Bon. Par quel canal? Par le canal des pétrodollars. Faut pas se cacher la vérité. Mm-hmm.
Disintegrated economy, starving infants, poverty and unemployment directs most everybody towards violence as a last resort, and especially when there are serious external motives. Tuaregs are nomadic tribes in the north of Mali. One can find Tuaregs eking out a living from Libya and Algeria to the north of Mali. They are a people who feel always deprived and ready to protest.
The Tuareg people always believe when you travel with a camel, you should have something with you as a weapon to defend yourself if anything happens. Yes?
You mean sometimes they use it, is it?
Of course. Well,
in case they want to fight with someone.
In case anything happens, it's a weapon. It's a defensive weapon.
After Mali's independence, Tuareg tribes became a target of the French colonists, who sought to motivate them against the central government and thereby to weaken the new government. A weak central government can be easily corrupted and taken over by a colonial power.
Parler des rébellions, il faudrait.
He will not talk about the rebellion.
Parler. On a vu que la France voulait créer un État, une organisation.
This time, Arab allies of Western powers and manipulation of the petrodollars would serve to help hoist the blood-covered flag of Takfiri terrorists over captured territory. The modus operandi of these Takfiris is to first destroy buildings that belong to the Sufis that brought Islam to Africa and fought against colonialists.
أما ما يخص دليلهم فهو شأنهم هم لأننا لا نرى لهم دليلا يرجع إليه بالحقيقة إذن نحن لا نراهم إلا بعين الإنكار إلا بعين الحذر إلا بعين المقت لا غير.
Takfiris are exceedingly brutal in their methods of spreading fear through decapitation, torture, and rape and murder, that it would frighten the Malians in a way that they will never forget. With the intrusion of foreign-sponsored terrorists and mercenaries, the future for Mali was laid out. Northern cities would fall one by one, and the Black Flag government would replace Malian government and would rule over Mali. The Malian army is not able to confront such a level of threat that worked its way closer to the capital moment by moment. The increasing fear of a Takfiri takeover would strongly encourage Malian authorities and its people to welcome past occupiers. The French army simply waited in the wings for their chance to act and return to recolonize Mali, only this time as the role of perceived savior. It would then proceed to expel the Takfiris and take over Mali's northern cities itself, one by one. Timbuktu, formerly the cultural capital of Western Africa, was attacked by the terrorist group Ansar al-Din, linked to Al-Qaeda, who saw their opportunity in the confusion following the military coup which ousted the former Malian government in 2012. Timbuktu became the training academy for Al-Qaeda terrorists.
Tout a chamboulé le jour où ils ont compris qu'il y a eu une intervention française, donc il fallait saboter. Donc ils n'avaient pas le choix, donc ils ont commencé à brûler. Mais
قبل أن نتحدث عن المخطوطات في تومبوكتو، لابد أن نعطي فكرة بسيطة عن هذه المدينة العظيمة والعريقة. التي تعرف باسم تومبوكتو. مدينة تومبوكتو تأسست تقريبا في القرن الخامس الهجري، ومنذ ذلك الوقت أخذت في النمو المضطرد المتزايد المتنامي، جعلتها عاصمة للثقافة في غرب إفريقيا وعاصمة للتجارة في غرب إفريقيا، حتى أصبحت مدينة علمية وثقافية قامت فيها نهضة علمية وثقافية وحضارية متميزة. كان هناك أساتذة يفدون إلى تومبوكتو من المغرب ومن مصر ليقوموا بمهمة التدريس، وأيضا بعض علماء تومبوكتو شدوا الرحال إلى هذه الدول، سواء إلى مصر أو إلى المغرب أو للجزائر أو حتى إلى شبه الجزيرة العربية.
Today, Timbuktu is charged as the keeper of sacred scripts and treasures, which are under protection in selected libraries of the city.
للأسف الشديد هذه المخطوطات تعرضت لحالات من الضياع والتلف في فترات تاريخية معينة، خصوصا عند دخول الاستعمار.
Parce que les manuscrits ont été protégés, parce que ce qu'on ne dit pas, les manuscrits ont été protégés d'abord contre les colonisateurs. Donc c'est la même stratégie qui a été réinventée pour protéger ces manuscrits quand les djihadistes sont venus, parce que nombre d'entre eux ont été cachés vers le sud.
وقد سرق كثير من هذه المخطوطات للأسف الشديد، وهرب كثير من هذه المخطوطات، واشتريت بعض هذه المخطوطات النفيسة والثمينة بمبالغ زهيدة ورخيصة، وهربت وبيعت في أوروبا و غيرها من البلدان العالم.
Once a cultural heritage burns in the fire of ignorance and prejudice, or is stolen and sold to private collectors, museums, or to London or Paris antique markets, the people no longer have that pillar of strength to lean on. It's as if a part of them has been taken and is now missing from their soul. And after that, their power to resist diminishes.
ولا زالت هذه المخطوطات مهددة بالخطر ومهددة بالتلف لأنها توجد مبعثرة بين الأهالي والأفراد ولا تحفظ بطريقة سليمة وصحيحة بحيث لا يراعى في وضعها داخل الصناديق والمستودعات أبسط الأسس التنظيمية لوضع الكتب والمخطوطات داخل الصناديق والرفوف إضافة إلى أنها لا توجد هناك نخب وطنية واعية ومثقفة تحمل على عاتقها هم حفظ هذه المخطوطات وإخراجها إلى النور وتحقيقها لتكون في متناول الباحثين والقراء.
Timbuktu's burnt books is the symbol of the rich and brave culture of the people who resisted against enemy attacks and threats of destruction of its antiquities for hundreds of years. Malians have been bent, but haven't broken. They have withstood countless invasions and persecutions, and all the while have kept their customs, culture, and religion. For the past 3 years alone, they have dealt with a government takeover, civil war, foreign terrorism, as well as local terrorism and rebellion, displacement of masses of people, government collapse, and destruction of the country's most endearing artifacts. Mali could be described as a failed state. The people have endured this traumatic experience, and there remains cautious optimism for the future. This is a testament to their strength of character. The country has lost some of its sovereignty. However, it is hard for one to be optimistic about the independent future of Mali. Already having lost some of its sovereignty to former colonial master France, Mali struggles both against foreign-sponsored terrorism and the relentless interference in its internal affairs by the West.